How many remembered that today was Pentecost Sunday? Anybody? There was a few. Good. Good. Pentecost, as you know, was really the birth of the church as God poured out his Spirit 50 days, Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover. And today we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about God's glory filling his temple. All right? So glory in the Scriptures. In the Old Testament is the Hebrew word kabod. Say that with me, kabod. Now, kabod means, literally, if you look at the literal definition, it means weightiness or heaviness, right? So if I say to you, my kabod has grown over these 3 months, it doesn't mean that kind of weightiness, even though that would be true in the other kind of weightiness. It's not the weightiness of physical weight. It's the weightiness, as you would say, that person carries a lot of weight. You ever hear that kind of expression? That's the kind of weightiness that is referred to as the Scriptures talk about God's glory, his kabod. So let's talk a little bit. Before we get to our text scripture this morning, which is Psalm 24, let's talk a little bit about God's glory and his presence. I can't even imagine, can you, what it must have been like in the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve to be actually able to stand in God's presence whenever God walked with them in the cool of the day. You know, that's an awesome thing to envision. But we know that sin separated men from God's presence. We also know, as we read through the Scriptures, that God desired so much to be with us, with people. We really see that as God called forth the nation of Israel and really purposed for them to be an example of his covenant relationship to the world. And of course, be the nation that would bring forth the Messiah. But we see in the story of Moses and the Israelites covenanting with God how God desired his presence to be with them. So God instructed them to build an ark, but not a boat ark, an ark that was called the Ark of the Covenant. The place that God had prescribed that his glory would come and dwell. And so Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and the craftsmen who were gifted by God, created this incredible, beautiful gold box and covered it with a remarkable lid that had engraved, you know, you've been doing a lot of that kind of stuff yourself, engraved, you know, the cherubim and the angels of God with their wings just stretching out over the top of this lid, almost touching in the middle. And it was said that right there, enthroned between the two cherubim, is where the presence of God, the glory of God, would come and fill that place. We also know that God prescribed, say that word with me, prescribed, like a prescription, a very special way of approaching God's presence, right? And why do you think he did that? Why was it such a big deal for God to lay out just a specific instruction of how you could enter, and it was only the high priest, if you remember, how you could enter into his presence. What was he saying in that? That his glory, his presence, was not to be taken lightly and for granted. That's right, Chet. That it was indeed the holiness of God. It was a big deal. We have to understand that the glory of God, his presence, is a big deal. I mean, that doesn't even do it justice to say those words. The glory of God. We know that that there, the Ark of the Covenant was often carried into battle, right? Because, you know, back in those days, whenever these nations, and they were foreign nations who had their own foreign false gods, whenever they fought battles, they truly believed that their gods, in the case of the foreigners, right, the pagans, that their gods would be the ones fighting for them. Well, the fact of the matter is, the one true God said that when you covenant with me, I will fight for you. And boy, isn't it great to read those passages in the scriptures where God indeed routs the armies of the enemies. I mean, when he does it, when he does it, just because of his presence and his power. And we see that over and over again. When Israel entered into the promised land, right? And now Joshua was leading them. We really have to search the scriptures to figure out what happened to the Ark of the Covenant whenever they entered into the promised land. Because, quite frankly, the rest of the stories of the conquests and the other things that happened in the promised land seem to overshadow a little bit about what went on with the Ark. But we realize that the Ark of the Covenant ended up at a place called Shiloh. And there the Ark of the Covenant was set up. Now this was before, just so you can get your chronology right, your storyline in place, this was way before the temple for God had been built by Solomon. Way before. As a matter of fact, this was before there was a king in Israel. So we find out that Samuel arises. You remember Samuel? The one that Hannah had and was given to the Lord to be a priest before God. And he was there, raised in the household of Eli, remember? Yes? And Samuel became a powerful judge. He was a part of the judges before Israel had a king. And Samuel was the one, if you remember, that actually was called upon by the Lord to anoint the first king of Israel, who was Saul. Yeah. We find out that Israel was fighting their arch enemies. You know who the arch enemies of Israel was when they entered into the land of Canaan, when they entered into the promised land? You remember, because you remember the story of David and who was a Philistine. So the Philistines were the arch enemies of the people of God as they entered into the promised land. Well, check this out. We find out in 1 Samuel chapter 4, I'm just going to go through the storyline quickly with you, that Israel ends up defeated by the Philistines, 1 Samuel 4. And listen to this. The Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant. Do you remember this fascinating story? I mean, honestly, it's this is a... Again, one of those stories that they could make a movie of and it would become just an incredible hit because of the drama and the power of this. So the Philistines thought, okay, yeah, we showed them whose God was God. We beat them. And we're carrying the proof, the Ark of the Covenant, back to our hometown, our capital city, and to the Temple of Dagon. How'd I do? I could probably narrate that new movie, right?
The Temple of Dagon.
Well, there was a big temple, and inside the temple was the statue of
Dagon.
Right? So the Philistines had the bright idea of taking the Ark of the Covenant and bringing it into the Temple of Dagon, setting it up alongside of him. And then I'm sure they did the hooby jooby, you know, the celebration dance. Yeah, that. So they went to bed that night, the Philistines, woke up the next morning to go back into the temple and do some more hooby-jooby. And what did they find, church? The statue of Dagon on its face. Now, they weren't too smart, so they didn't figure it out at first. So they just simply set the statue back up. Did the hooby-jooby all day long, went to bed that night. Got up the next morning, and not only did it, but head, arms, leg, broken off. Only the body's left. Honestly, wouldn't that make an incredible movie? Only the body's left, and they're thinking, oh, maybe we made a mistake here. Maybe we did. You know? Now, in case they had any doubts, in your scriptures it says that not only did this happen, but it said that that God brought devastation upon the Philistines and afflicted them with tumors. Yeah. And rats. Yeah. Tumors and rats. So they finally, light bulb moment, we better get this thing out of here. Because what would they have realized? This is God. They didn't worship Him, but they realized that that's what was going on. So what they did, 1 Samuel 6 now, they got a cart and put the ark on the cart, and they figured, you know, that they would throw in some guilt offering. Isn't that interesting? So they made gold rats and gold tumors. I don't know what a gold tumor looks like, but that's what they put on there. And they sent the ox lowing, is that what they call it? Lowing away, and it ends up back in Israel. And it actually starts, it stops at the Israelite town of Beth Shemesh. And there in Beth Shemesh, this is just a real quick sidebar, the men there put it on a large rock, a big rock that was there in Beth Shemesh. You ever been to a place where there's a big rock that marks a spot? That's where they put the ark. I figured that was a good idea. Except for some of the men of Beth Shemesh hadn't, of course, watched the Raiders of the Lost Ark yet, because it wasn't yet made. So they opened the lid and they looked inside, and guess what happened? Well, if they would have seen the movie, they would have known what would have happened, right? 70 men struck dead. So they now says, now this is an interesting quote. They say in verse 20 of 1 Samuel 6, who can stand in the presence of the Lord, this holy God? These are the Israelites, the men of Beth Shemesh, because of what happened to the 70 men. So they sent messengers to the Levite town of Kiriath-Jearim and said, come down and take up the ark to your place. Huh. That could be a sermon right there, right? Didn't want the presence of God with them. That would preach, but that's not my message today. So I'm going to move on. You ready? So let me just say this, that it ends up staying there in Kiriath-Jearim for 70 years. Say 70 years. Now, that means that it stayed there through the reign of Samuel as judge, through the reign of Saul as king, till David became king of Israel. Then we find out, now here's the heart of the story, you ready? That was all prelude, here it comes. Then we find out that King David, who had a heart after God's own heart, right? Another thing that'll preach for sure. He wants to preach, that's what he wants to do. Let him up here, for goodness sakes. Yep, indeed, I could probably hold him and preach if you'd like. I can do it. Yeah, it's my buddy. Huh. So David becomes king. And listen to this. David, of course, anointed by God, man after God's own heart, David, favored by God, anointed by God, begins to have all these military victories, right? Including a great victory over the archenemy, Philistines, right? Started back with David and Goliath. Now, David has a decisive victory over the Philistines. And what happened? If you knew the geography, you could see this, you know. I like maps. Don't guys like maps? A lot of guys like maps. Women might too, I don't know, but I do. But if you'd see this in the geography, you would see that when that victory was won over the Philistines this time, it opened the pathway up, clear path, to bring the ark where it was, you know, through what was Philistine had held country up to Jerusalem. So David said, that's what I'm doing. So David, all excited, no wonder he's all excited. In the goodness of his heart, honestly, he wants to bring the ark, the representation of the presence of God. Not just a representation, but where God's presence was. David, who later would write things like, you know, I'd rather dwell in the house of God than anything else, right? You know, that's what he wants. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, right? Psalm 23, yes. David, he says, I'm bringing up the ark. Now, in his zeal, if you remember, what happens? David rushes down, right? Throws the ox on a cart. Now, those of you that are Bible scholars, your antenna should be going do 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 do, because if you remember the law given to Moses, that ain't the way to handle the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. He throws it on a cart. Now, so far, if you're watching this movie, you know, so far nothing happens until the cart hits a pothole. Could have been Pennsylvania, right? Pothole. And it begins to tilt, and Uzziah really is afraid that the ark might fall off the cart. So what does he do? It's hard for us to read what happens and you think, you know, wow, that's a severe judgment. But the holiness of God struck Uzziah dead. Now David, it's interesting, you know, the initial reaction of David was anger. You can kind of understand that, can't you? I mean, he was trying to do what was right, and so when he saw this, the initial reaction was anger, but the second reaction in Scripture, it says that the second reaction was fear. Anger and fear. Can anyone relate to that, you know? Those two things often go hand in glove, don't they? Anger and fear. Now, David goes back home. And I just want you to think with me here. He stays there for 3 months. Now, some of you have stayed in home for the last 3 months. Or stayed, you know, relatively close to home for the last 3 months. You know, and just wondered what was going on out there. I mean, this was what was going on with David. I mean, I'm sure he went through what you've just gone through. The depression, the anger, the mixed feelings, you know, the what's going on, what's the future going to hold, what's up? Until he hears the news. Good news. He wasn't watching the national news, which is another good point to make. He hears the news that the owner of the place where the ark was, you know, back when the cart stumbled, Chet, and it, you know, Uzziah, and It was put in the house of Obed-Edom. The news comes back, Tessa, that ever since the ark was in the house of Obed-Edom, the household and all he had was blessed. I mean, just think about that for a second. How did they know? Man, this dude was doing well. His wife and his children's children, you know, they were having children right and left, you know, and they were blessed by God. They were healthy and prosperous. The word got out to David that this is unusual. I mean, can you imagine just what it must have been like to have the presence of God with you, and then all of a sudden you just start to feel the blessings of God flowing into your life, flowing into your life, flowing into your life. And it's like, you know, that old saying, everything you touch turns to gold. It was that kind of situation, that household. Everything was just incredibly blessed, noticeably, and notably by God. David hears these stories and says, oh, I think it's okay to go back now. So David actually goes back to Obed-Edom's house. Only this time, he does it right. You learn, right? You learn from your mistakes. You're supposed to, Dan, that's right. And buddy, this time he was not taking any chances. He went by the letter of the law, prescription, right? Brought all the Levites with him. And they actually offered so many sacrifices that when you read the story, you think, man, it must have took them a long time to get the ark from Obed-Edom, which wasn't that far out of Jerusalem, into Jerusalem where David placed the ark in a tent, by the way, a tent that David had crafted for the ark. Remember, this was before the temple. And the tent, by the way, later became known as the Tabernacle of David, which is another cool story. But so David does it right. He's offering these sacrifices. The Levites have the gold pulls through the holes, the rings of the ark, and they're carrying it on their shoulders like they were supposed to. They're singing and they're celebrating and they're worshiping and they're offering the sacrifices, right? And the ark indeed approaches Jerusalem, the city of David. Now we're at our text scripture. And don't worry, it won't be long after the text that we close. But I want you to read this text now. Knowing the context, now let's read the text. Knowing the context, the background story, now let's read the scripture that David penned as a result of now being at this moment in his life, Psalm 24. Can you just allow me to read this to you today? You can follow along if you'd like. Psalm 24, it's only 10 short verses, but so powerful. And Tyler, in about 5 minutes after this scripture, we'll have the worship team come back. But let me read this to you. Psalm 24. You ready? Can you see David there? Just celebrating with all his might, and he's rejoicing that now it's working. The ark, the presence of God is coming back. He's going to be able to dwell with the presence of God, have the presence of God dwell with him. And he enters into his hometown, his city, the city of David. A city actually shielded with walls and gates. And as he approaches the city gate, David begins to write, "The earth is the Lord. And everything in it, the fullness therein, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." This is God. This is all God's. Now, who in the midst of God's glory, in the midst of this creation, this universe that he's made, in the midst of this holy God, who can ascend? That's what they were doing, ascending. It's called the Psalm of Ascents. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? You know, to get to that place. Who can stand in His holy place? David says, He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, he will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek Him. And then he begins to personalize it, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Selah. Praise you, God. Now he's standing at the edge of the city gates. And David begins to prophesy. The Holy Spirit begins to move upon him, and he begins to speak words that he wouldn't even understand at the moment, but he's speaking under the inspiration of God, and he says, Lift up your heads, O gates! Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And it's as if there's a voice speaking in the background at the other side of the city walls. Who is this King of glory? And the answer is given, the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. So lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Today is the remembrance of the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost marks the day when the King of glory enabled the glory of the King to enter into human hearts. As David penned these words, we 2,000 years, more than that, years later, we can hear the Holy Spirit say to us, Open up, ye gates. Swing wide, ye doors, that the King of glory would come in. You have become the Ark of the Covenant. You have become God's chosen dwelling place for His glory. That same glory that no one could look at and live. The same glory that no one could touch and survive. The same glory that is written in Scriptures as the brilliance of the Lord. Can you imagine what it took to enable that glory to enter this human vessel? You know what it took. This is the work of Jesus Christ. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. There's no one that could say that save the cleansing work of Jesus Christ. But He has made it possible. This is the work of Calvary that made possible the fulfillment of Pentecost, that made possible the glory of God filling a human heart. And we have become the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are carriers of the presence of God. Sometimes that makes me shudder. Other times it makes me dance. At all times, it should bring us great joy of knowing that now the dwelling place of God is in a human heart, yours, when you've been cleansed by the blood, washed and made clean. So a lot of Christians that have celebrated Calvary, and rightly so, that have not yet experienced the glory and joy of Pentecost. There are Christians today that are like the Ephesians that we read about in the book of Acts, that when Peter and John went down and said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed?" replied, "We didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit." Can you imagine God standing at the door of your heart and saying today, "Let the King of Glory come in. I want to be with you. Let my presence come into your life. There's more of me to experience." And as our worship team comes now, I just want to close this morning with that being our worshipful prayer, that we don't leave this place the same today, that we open our hearts and allow the King of Glory to come in. Amen? Prepare your hearts now. Understand the message that has just been spoken and the miracle that happened when Jesus made available the Holy Spirit to you. And understand that, like me, sometimes you leak and need the fresh anointing. You need the refilling of God's Spirit, the presence and power of God in your life. And as we close in worship today, I pray that you would join me in calling upon the God who made it possible to fill you anew today. Would you say with me, "Let the King of Glory in"? Let's stand.